KPIX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Gearing up for the debate, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris meeting face-to-face in Philadelphia tonight for the first time. ABC's Rachel Scott has more on how we got here.
It was just 7 weeks ago that the race was upended when President Biden dropped out after his disastrous debate performance.
Dealing with everything we have to do with, if we finally beat Medicare.
Biden passing the torch to Harris, handing her the shortest campaign in modern history.
The showdown at the Constitution Center, 90 minutes long, no hot mics and no studio audience. Typhoon Yagi, the strongest typhoon to hit Vietnam in decades, triggering heavy rain, floods and landslides. So far, 87 people have been killed. Tropical storm Francine gaining strength as it churns in the Gulf of Mexico, expected to hit Louisiana as a Category 2 hurricane tomorrow. This is ABC News. Now out, police body cam video of the police stop in Miami of Dolphins star wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Bystander video from Sunday showed him on the ground in handcuffs. Here's ABC's Dave Packer.
Video showing police yanking Tyreek Hill out of his sports car to the pavement after he was pulled over for speeding and reckless driving. Monday evening, the Miami Dolphins releasing a statement on social media calling police conduct in the incident overly aggressive. Going on to say there are some officers who mistake the responsibility and commitment to serve with misguided power, urging Miami police to take swift action against the officers involved. One of those officers now at administrative duty. Dave Packer, ABC News.
And the call this morning?
Try again. SpaceX. Go for launch.
The Polaris Dawn mission lifting off aboard SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. The mission 5 days in space, heading to an altitude of nearly 900 miles. They'll also carry out the first commercial spacewalk. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. I'm Terry Bell.
Both polls put Harris's lead inside the margin of error. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz returns to Wisconsin later this week. Walz will appear at different political events in Wausau on Friday night, then stump in Superior on Saturday afternoon. Walz spoke at Milwaukee's Labor Fest on Labor Day. Donald Trump spoke to a rally in central Wisconsin over the weekend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers will have to get by without QB1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jordan Love is expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and head coach Matt LaFleur says that rumors of the Packers looking for another quarterback are unfounded.
Despite reports, it's crazy to me, like, how people come up with some of these things, and I think you're always, You explore every possibility, but at no point in time did we ever have any discussions with anybody.
On Sunday, it will be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. Wisconsin football plays Alabama this week, and head coach Luke Fickell says that they're the best program in college football.
Over the last 20 years, who's been the best team in college football? And there's no doubt it's been Alabama. So regardless of where they are at this moment, this is as good a football team that there is in the country and has been for a really, really long time. And
kickoff is at 11 a.m. Saturday. And tonight, the Brewers begin a six-game road trip in San Francisco. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 56. Tomorrow, sunshine, 85. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny and warmer with a high near 88. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 56.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. Kristen Alfheim joins us at 11:06. We'll hear what she's hearing about on the campaign trail. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 11. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's a beautiful morning.
First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying.
I love your show. I listen all the time.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
Looks like I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
God, it's all toilet sounds.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
That last guy is...
just love that.
Yeah, he's great. I love it when he calls in.
He's a scientific genius. WMDX.
Yeah.
92.7. Oh, by the way, and also picked the wrong week to buy eggs.
What, are we going to go over that again?
Well, a lot of people don't know it, but, you know, because of salmonella and the egg warning, they've doubled the price of eggs at the grocery store. Just to let you know.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, because they got to get rid of a ton of them that might be contaminated.
Okay. Now, Woodman's doesn't carry this brand.
The price went up.
They didn't, yes.
Supply and demand.
$6.50 for a dozen and a half eggs.
Yeah.
I got you.
Outrageous. They're like a $3.50 at the most. Mm-hmm. So it's double the price.
It's 7 minutes past the hour.
I'm going to complain and complain and complain.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy Show, and Terry Bell joins us
this morning. That sounds like the big story, Terry, but really, you have a better one.
Well,
is the big story,
the cost
Terry?
Of living is a story, that's for sure. Yeah. But our big story this morning, of course, is the presidential debate coming up tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Probably going to be the only one between these two. So, you know, we'll see how it goes compared to last time with President Biden, which turned out to be pretty much the end of his political career. Yeah. So,
yeah,
it was a fascinating night. And this one should be pretty interesting, too. Same rules as last time. No studio audience. And mics will be cut off when it's not your turn to speak.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but I'll bring it up to you. Mm-hmm. Jen Psaki on MSNBC interviewed Dana Bash from CNN.
Sure.
Because Dana has a book out. But she was asked, why don't you fact check while you're doing this?
Mm-hmm. While you're doing the debate.
And she said that, well, it'll get confusing. You know, everything will go back and forth regarding, you know, what is the truth and what isn't. And it won't really get much done that way. But at the same time, she said the fact checking should be done by the opponent in the debate. And that's where
Leave
the fact-checking should take place.
I'm not so sure. I think there is some way, there must be some way to fact-check in real time. I would think on television you could have some sort of, you know, display
Chiron somewhere
on the side or on the bottom to sort of, you know, fact-check in real time. There are better people than me who could do that, who have that kind of memory and that kind of quickness, you know, looking up databases and such. But I think there must be some way. No, I wouldn't say it's on the opponent necessarily, although I think the opponent should be
should respond to it, right? And
feel free to speak and correct up
the error. Yeah.
But I don't think I don't think the journalists should necessarily abdicate that responsibility.
They have a savant at CNN, Daniel mm-hmm. Dale, and yeah. That guy, you know, could Instant. Probably rattle.
It would
that
take
stuff
a savant like person to, yeah. to do that job. Right. That's certainly not me.
Now, we will have civic media coverage of the debate here tonight beginning at 7:30, right?
Yep, exactly. So tune into the civic media radio station at right after the news at 7:30. Todd mm-hmm. Aubaugh and I will get things started. We'll have a panel of highly respected analysts, Dan Schaefer, Trigvi Olson, Angela Lang, I should say. And we're looking forward to, you know, I think an informative and enlightening night, hopefully.
All right. Yeah. Very good.
All right, Terry. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
And sounds like good coverage to me.
Yeah, we'll be listening tonight.
Absolutely.
Again, our civic media coverage starts at 7:30. Debate starts around 8 o'clock, and we'll have it here.
All right. Well, you know, the big story.
Yeah.
I just happened to catch this clip of Rachel Maddow talking about Trump, who is not asking for people's votes anymore.
He stopped asking for votes?
He's not asking for votes. He doesn't need to ask for votes.
Because they're going to tie it all up in the courts anyway, right? I mean, is that the plan? They're going to start throwing out court actions as soon as the voting starts?
Yeah. Let's get Rachel Maddow's explanation of this. Right.
You probably heard this weekend that Donald Trump told an audience on Friday night that if they vote for him this November, if he's voted back into office this November, they will never have to vote again. He told an audience on Friday to, quote, get out and vote just this time. He said after this time, quote, you won't have to do it anymore. You won't have to vote anymore. He said, quote, in 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good and you're not going to have to vote. Now, this is not the first time Trump has told a campaign audience that they will never have to vote again once they vote him back in this time. And that is as alarming as it sounds for all the reasons that you immediately think it is, right? I mean, he's positing this like this is a happy thing. Oh, joy, never having the burden of voting again, right? The point of democracy is that we vote all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we like it. That's how we decide what happens in our country. He's promising his followers that he'll end all of that. And it just, it's exactly what you think it is.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes. He said that on Thursday last week. And it turns out this is something, when you look, he says this all the time now.
My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes.
We don't need votes. I tell my people, I don't need any votes. We got all the votes we need. I don't need votes.
We don't need votes. We got more votes than anybody's ever had.
You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes.
Don't worry about voting. Of all the weirdness around this campaign, this is a truly strange thing to tell people, right? Don't vote. I don't need your vote. I don't want your vote. Because what that means is that he doesn't think he needs to win the vote to win the election. At Rolling Stone today, they profile 70 different election officials who have been put into position in the swing states of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, who are election denialists, committed election denialists. Officials that have been put in place in all of those swing states to make sure that election results, no matter what they are, do not get certified in those states this year. They are not counting on the vote. And in fact, Trump is now repeatedly saying the vote will not matter. He doesn't even want your vote. The Republicans are counting on the election results not being certified. The dislocation from actually asking people for their votes, that means something. It means they are not trying to win this thing in a normal way. Are they prepared for this level of weirdness after the votes are cast?
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't need the votes.
Nope. Doesn't need them at all. Huh. Because it's just going to be held up, and they're going to deny certain states votes, and that's what's going to
decide
the election in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how that will do it.
I wonder if they'll bring that up in the debate tonight. Kamala Harris should bring that up.
Now, somebody texted in and suggested the information bubbles in the debate.
Oh,
like pop-up videos.
Right.
Now, I've seen that on other TV shows,
yeah.
You know, where they have like instant input, instant text, and it gives you an idea of what's going on. And they should probably do that. It's a great idea.
I like the idea of adding a thought bubble, like in a comic strip.
Oh yeah,
to the right? to the people yeah. on the screen.
That's yeah, right.
That would be excellent.
So anyway, so this is they're laying the groundwork for it, and they've already done that in a few states. Pennsylvania, they've done it. Donald Trump posted this. An interview by Tucker Carlson on election. Well, you know, obviously he's got a great guest here. Tucker Carlson of an election expert indicates that 20% of the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania are fraudulent. Now, he just posted this. So he's setting this up for because the state will probably not deny the votes, will not contest them. Mm-hmm. So you got to work that angle now. And cast doubt on the actual votes that are being cast. Mm-hmm. According to Trump, here we go again. Where in the U.S. Attorney General and FBI to investigate? Where is the Pennsylvania Republican Party? We will win Pennsylvania by a lot unless the Dems are allowed to cheat. The RNC must activate. Now, again, Tucker Carlson talked to an expert, set 20% of the mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania fraudulent, setting
That's
everything
according
up.
To him.
Yes. And the chair of Elias Law Group, Mark Elias, posted this about that post. Everything this guy says about voting and elections is a lie. A straight up, flat out lie. As I mentioned, every time I research whatever Trump is saying, it's a lie. You know, I'm trying to find out whether it's a lie or not, and it always is. 100% of the time, it is. I can't believe this. You know, it's just, please believe me. I'm not making this stuff up. Plus, there was another response about intimidating and threatening to lock up Harris supporters and donors. Here's what one ex-poster, very angry about the press, said: "Not a single word about Trump's epic, explicit, written threat to investigate and lock up his opponents under the false pretext of election cheating." New York Times had nothing on it. Washington Post, nothing. Chicago Tribune, nothing. Los Angeles Times, nothing. Mm-hmm. Dallas Morning News, nothing. And the Miami Herald, nothing. Now, since then, a few of them have picked up on this. So we'll see what happens. But it's a big issue. And they're really going to hold it up. You know, Georgia is getting a lot of focus in this because they have Republicans in charge of the election board down there, and they're going to contest.
They're just going with
all
this,
of the election
with this theory that you just keep repeating a lie often enough, and people will start believing it.
Right.
So that's just they're just beating that drum to death.
And they realize too they don't have to go after just Democratic areas.
Right.
They can go after just a small area, and if it's contested anywhere in the state, it's going to hold up the election.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. I think this,
if Harris wins,
we won't know who the real winner is until maybe 2 or 3 years later.
It doesn't take that long.
Who knows? Yeah. You know, we've got a Supreme Court that will side with Trump on all of this stuff. And it's a possibility.
That's the scary part.
Yeah. And just to lighten things up a little bit, I think we should get to OAN. It's a network. And they had a segment on Trump's new picture book.
He's got a picture book?
Yeah,
he's got a new picture book
for the coffee table. Let's list that. That's cut 64.
Can't wait.
All right.
All right.
Now he has a book to look back on the movement so far. It's called Save America and is a beautiful photographic documentary of Trump's presidency and beyond. On the very first page is the 45th president's mugshot.
A mugshot.
Printed on it in his handwriting, it says, "Never give up, never surrender."
Mugshot.
This is the main message of these pictures that will assault your eye to ensure that you understand that what he always says is true. In the end, they're not coming after him. They're coming after you. He's just standing in their way.
You know, it's like a science fiction movie. You know, they're not coming after me. They're coming after you.
Yes. All right.
It assaults your eyes. A mugshot.
Oh, my.
In the book.
Yeah, that's scary enough. 19 past the hour, right back with Under the Radar, Tommy Thompson news on WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX 92.7, the John and Gordy Family Show.
It is 20 minutes past the hour. Clear sky, sunshine this morning, 59 degrees, highs in the upper 70s today. Here's something going on this evening here in Madison, right down the street. Oh. Right down the street here. Mike LaCrone and Doug Moe will be at the Central Library. It's part of the Wisconsin Book Festival, discussing Doug Moe's new book, Moments of Happiness, a Wisconsin band story. It's all about Mike LaCrone and his many years as the UW band director. So that's this evening, beginning at 6 p.m. at the Central Library. Our friend Doug Moe will be there along with Mike LaCrone. Okay?
That sounds good. Sounds like a good event to attend.
Ah, right.
Well, let's check what's... under the radar.
What is under the radar?
It's a radar detector.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh. What's that?
Looks like a lot of things are coming our way.
It looks like interference. All right. Okay.
Let's get to the cognitive decline of Trump. This is getting... extra focus now because the New York Times had an article about how old he is now. Yeah, we haven't really brought that up, right? Biden bowed out, but the 78-year-old guy, still old.
He's still old.
And still babbling. And he's using the weave, of course, but actually he's just all over the map. That's another way of describing it. So anyway, he's having problems. So what do we do about that, right?
Well,
Donald Trump has warned Kamala, the campaign donors, that they better not, you know, donate any money because they could be arrested by him. Well, you know, Trump...
he's threatening a lot of things right now.
Yeah, he doesn't like the skullduggery going on.
Skullduggery?
Yeah, the swipe at donors came as Harris's report raising a whopping $230 million has kind of, you know, dwarfed his fundraising efforts. So anyway, the Harris campaign put out a little ad. It's cut 57. We're going to take a listen to this.
Okay.
And check it out.
Okay.
I will support modifying the 25th Amendment to make clear that if a vice president lies or engages in a conspiracy to cover up the incapacity of the president of the United States... if you do that with a cover-up of the President of the United States, it's grounds for impeachment immediately and removal from office, because that's what they did.
See, that's what he did here. Just, you know, turn the tables, right? You know, he's saying, well, you know, you didn't tell us that Biden was declining. Take the camera, take the focus off of me.
Right.
So that's, it's just an amazing thing. You got to be aware of this kind of stuff. Now, tonight on the debate, I know what's going to come up.
Right.
And it's always going to be a focus on how bad the economy is. Now, they've been very, very successful selling this to the public. The public believes the economy is doing horribly. We've talked about that on this program. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, including myself, you know, I haven't really... The economic efforts by the Biden administration hasn't necessarily filtered to me,
mm-hmm.
okay, except for bringing inflation down. But really, it hasn't affected me, but it has affected a lot of people who are getting jobs in industries that are returning back to the United States. So people never really take that into consideration. They just say, well, how has it affected me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's doing well.
And, well,
you know,
if you
it's
have
just
a
an opinion.
401k, it's been doing pretty well.
Pretty damn well, yeah.
Because the stock market basically doubled in the last 4 years.
Interest rates are really high, and you're making a lot of money if you have a little money in your accounts at your bank or credit union.
Right.
So you can make a little money on this economy. But anyway, how is the economy really doing?
Right.
Well, Joe Biden has created an average of 268,000 jobs a month. Okay, and Trump created 182,000 jobs. Now, I'm thinking that's
a
lot less.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well, yeah, it's average. So job growth under Biden is the strongest America has been since Ronald Reagan. Well, yeah, that's a point to make. Right?
It is.
How about GDP under Biden? America's gross domestic product has grown an average of 3.6% a year. But wait, under Trump, it grew only 2.6.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A whole percentage point less.
Yes.
I don't think the economy is doing that much better, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, well, it, you know, it hasn't affected me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's doing horribly. Anyway. As for inflation, Biden inherited a supply chain problem that pushes many prices to uncomfortable levels, according to this.
Okay.
But guess what? The rise in prices has cratered in recent months, so much of that. The Fed seems poised now to lower interest rates, all right? So Trump drove up the U.S. debt by more than twice of what Biden has so far added to the debt. So how about inflation? Let's check that out.
Yeah, let's check it.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics found that three main components explain the rise in inflation in 2020. Is it spending? Mm. Is it Biden spending? Or wait, Biden-Harris spending? Of course not. Mm. No, it isn't. It wasn't Biden spending. Remember, this was global, okay? So what raised the prices? Inflation, volatility of energy prices, backlogs of work orders for goods and services caused by supply chain issues during COVID, and price changes in the auto-related industries.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, we could also include greedflation, I think, right, Gordy?
Sure.
Around 50% of the rise in inflation was due to greedflation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of those food companies still making them greedflation money. We're getting a couple of texts in here, John.
Right.
The last one here. Trump left office with fewer jobs than when he came in. He lost 1 million jobs overall, I think they're saying. The first since Hoover that a president left office with fewer jobs than when he entered. And we had a couple
didn't
of other.
Did Trump say he doesn't want to be Hoover? Was it Hoover?
Hoover.
Who he picked out? He said,
Herbert Hoover.
I'm not going to be him.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good to know. You know, I saw gas yesterday. You know that Spirit gas station on University Avenue?
Yes.
$2.89 a gallon. They dropped it way down.
Wow.
Yeah. Now everybody else is still above $3.
Yeah.
As far as I could tell. Last night, but yes, gas prices have been coming down. Food prices still high at the grocery store. And that's where the greedflation comes in, the repackaging. Still some things coming down. But,
well, an economist came out and said, maybe some prices are still up there, but people are still spending money.
Yeah.
And they're finding ways to spend the money on other things that are at a better price. You know, we do have the option of not buying something that has been, priced too high.
Right.
We can always go someplace else.
Yes, you can. That's it.
And so if you're at a store that is still pricing things very high, go someplace else. Try something else.
That's the way it is.
My God, it's called shopping. You know?
It is.
Nothing too high tech there.
Okay. It is coming up on 729. Coming up next, Dylan Brogan will be with us here in the studio talking about the Metro Transit here on the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX.
John and Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's a question to consider. What insurance coverage does your township have? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. You know, if you stop and think about it, if your township has any kind of firefighting force, maybe an ambulance service, those are items that need insurance. And now with the upcoming election, there's another element of insurance to consider. We'll talk more about that in just a moment.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Dan Lowndes is the managing attorney with Statewide Services. That's a division of Rural Mutual Insurance. And he said one conversation he's having with towns right now, are you prepared for the upcoming elections?
I expect a lot of litigation regarding elections. And there's, again, there's no injury. Nobody got injured. No property got injured. But you have that extra layer of coverage, that extension of coverage that we could come in and we could hire an attorney who is an expert in elections to help this out. I think that area of law, you'd have to find the right attorney to defend it. Not your run-of-the-mill attorney is going to know about it, Wisconsin election law, and we'll be able to find those experts for it.
Dan Lowndes, an attorney himself and also the managing attorney with Statewide Services, a division of Rural Mutual Insurance. He said in Wisconsin, we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1,100 townships, all of which are going to face those challenges coming up this fall.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
And the warm, dry weather that we're going to experience this week around Wisconsin is good news for our crops. As of Sunday across the state, 9% of our corn silage had already been harvested. Our corn crop rated 64% good to excellent. Same situation with soybeans. Right now, about 62% of that crop is called good to excellent. Third cutting of alfalfa was about 96% complete. And 42% of our potato harvest has already been done. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Tuesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 56. Tomorrow, sunshine, 85. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny and warmer with a high near 88. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 56.
Shop Furlow Mattress during our Labor Day sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Get a free box spring with a mattress purchase. Or upgrade to an adjustable base and save even more. At Furlow, every mattress we make is factory direct and custom made locally for you. And it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Don't fall for the other guy's mattress gimmicks. Furlow has no middleman, so you'll get the comfort you want and save a whole lot of money. American made, locally crafted. Furlow.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, who will discuss his new book, Big Techs, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison drops by to discuss their upcoming slate.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. From the Civic Media Mothership, it's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Department Store, which this week only is featuring its annual clearance sale. No, not clearance. This is their clearance sale. Any customer named Clarence will receive 15% off any purchase during this week only. Offer void where not prohibited by law.
There you go. Easy as that. WMDX 92.7, the John and Gordy Family Show.
Mm-hmm.
Is it brought to us by anyone in particular?
Well, John, funny you mentioned that.
Oh.
It is brought to us by somebody in particular. The John and Gordy Show, in fact, is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com. Okay.
It's so contradictory. Here we are trying to wake people up in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about mattresses and going
putting
back to sleep.
Asleep.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the effect.
That's it.
All right. We've got a special guest. Dylan Brogan is here from Metro Transit, right?
Well, I work for the city in broad, but Metro is part of
it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes. Okay. I'm the city's communications manager.
Welcome to the John and Gordy Show.
Thank you for being here. It's wonderful to see you, John, in particular. We ran into each other
so many times over
the world.
Yeah, throughout the radio experiences that we've had.
Yes.
And you were a news guy for so many years.
Yes, I was.
And
kind of feels like I'm still a news guy.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
It's a lot the same. You're telling people what's going on in Madison,
trying to inform people about the new bus system that we have in town, the BRT.
Yes, it's launching September 22nd.
Bus Rapid Transit is what it stands for. Fill us in first on what we're looking at when the start date for
this has been decades in the making.
Yeah. Okay.
We were
absolutely
studying this when I was a small child in the 90s, right?
Right.
And Madison has a unique geography, right?
Sure.
Like the isthmus is a natural bottleneck. So they saw the trend lines and all these people are moving here. And this is a long time ago. And they're like, well, our bus rapid transit system is probably the best thing. So Madison had all its homeworks done when it came time to actually getting the federal funds from the Biden administration to actually make it happen. So we're seeing the launch of the bus rapid transit system. It hasn't started yet. It starts September 22nd. So this has been a long time coming, and it's a big deal for Madison because, you know, the federal government doesn't give you this historic amount of infrastructure money maybe once in a generation, sometimes not even that.
That's right.
So what will happen on September 22nd? Will there be a ribbon cutting? Will there be a big ceremony? Will there be cake? Will there be ice cream? How does it do? You've got this all set up.
It's on a Sunday, right? So it's going to be a couple of days, but there's definitely going to be a ribbon cutting that week. So that's all I can say about that.
So you're going to have cake in the center of the roads where the bus stops
are. We don't like it when you eat on the bus.
Okay.
You can see why.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But it's these new bendy buses you've been seeing around. They're 60-foot, all-electric, articulated buses. I've been on one. If you want to see one, you can do it today at 4 o'clock at the Baldwin and East Washington station to check it out. A little open house Metro is throwing. So it's very exciting. This is a brand new day.
Yeah. Well, I drove down University Avenue this morning, as I always do each and every morning. But I noticed that one of the stops in the middle of the road, that's where the bus stops are now.
They're called Center Stations.
Oh, Center Stations.
Center Stations.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Have to get used to that reference all the time. But they didn't have the red paint next to it. And I was a little surprised by that.
Well,
was that intentional, or is that still something they need to
There's a lot of planning. I'm not 100% sure about whether they're putting the red paint down there, because as you probably have noticed around town, it's pretty noticeable. You have these the red things where it says bus
Certain
only.
Lanes, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's causing a slight amount of confusion, but once the buses are on, it's going to become much easier for folks. Basically, if it says bus only, you shouldn't be there. But
yeah, get out of that lane.
We've also, you know, they've also, there hasn't been a huge diminishment in road capacity. If you still drive a personal vehicle to and from this, the bus rapid transit system is going to make your life better, not worse, because, and you should thank everyone every day for being on the bus, because we have a couple thousand people moving here every year, and it's just getting more and more congested. And we don't want to be like Austin or Nashville, where, have you been in those cities?
No.
It's daily misery commuting, because they didn't have the foresight to really create a public transit system that actually works for in time.
Yeah.
And we're getting that right now, and it's going to be you know, really important, not just for this year, but for the years ahead and moving people around the city. And it's the biggest difference, and maybe I bury the lead here, but like the east to west line, that's what starts September 22nd. There's going to be the biggest change is the buses are going to come at least every 15 minutes on this new rapid rail line.
Okay.
So the closer you get to, as you go down East West, the closer you get to the Capitol, it's going to be 7.5. And then from the Capitol down into campus, it's going to be 5 minutes. A bus is coming every
that
5 minutes.
That is unbelievable.
So instead of having to look up a schedule, people are just going to be able to go to these center stations, and the bus will just be there.
Yeah. And there's a new way of paying, right? That's faster, right?
It's called Fast Fare. That's right.
I thought it might be called something like that.
Yes. And so it's a new system. Should make it easier to get on and off the bus. So you don't have to just stand there next to the driver trying to get that dollar bill in, and it's just not coming in.
You're putting chips in people. You buy them, put them in their wrists, and just scan
Apple
it.
Might be doing that, but Metro's not. But we have a new think about the BRT system launching on September 22nd. Right now, this is such a, like, Metro is trying to land three planes on the same runway at the same time, right?
Yeah.
It's a new rapid system with these new long buses. You got this new fast fare system, and then there's this whole new underpinning of electronics that are guiding drivers and making sure that the buses are, you know, running at peak efficiency. One misnomer, it's bus rapid transit. You know, they don't go 80 miles an hour, though. They go the speed limit. It's faster because it's the buses come more often, and they have their own dedicated lanes, and they have some traffic priority.
Well, they don't have
signaling
to drive through neighborhoods and take about 45 minutes just to get to, you know, something that's close to your house, actually. My son went to the university downtown, of course, but we live in Middleton, and we wish we had it at that time, rapid transit. That would have helped tremendously. It was a 45-minute ride from our home from Middleton just to get to campus, and it's ridiculous.
People in we have service out to Middleton right now.
Yeah.
People drive from Cross Plains into Middleton, they park, and then they commute down into Madison because it's just more convenient and you don't have to pay for parking.
We're talking with Dylan Brogan about Metro Transit and the BRT. And now one question I have, how many new buses are there?
60 new buses.
What happens to the old buses?
Oh, they slowly get decommissioned out.
Okay.
So 60 new buses, that was also paid for, you know, through the infrastructure law that came about a couple of years ago. And these are all electric buses. So, like, they go to the end of the line in Junction Road or anything, and they have this charger that comes down that tops off the battery, and then they go on their way again.
That's pretty cool.
There's been a ton of changes at Madison Metro to really, like, make it a 21st century system. And, like, kind of all this hard work and all that is just coming online right now. And we're already getting started in a couple of years of doing the north-south line of BRT, which should just add capacity to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. what about, you know, bicycles?
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Bicycles before on the old buses, you had to just, you know, you'd have to go out in front and put them on there.
On
now
the
you
front,
can drive them right out. You can just walk them right in. There's an easy place to strap them in, so that should be easier too.
Well, that's a lot easier. I always felt uncomfortable thinking that, you know, you have to go to the front of a bus on the outside Yeah, I just don't
awkward. It wasn't
no
so
one
bad,
wants to
yes.
stand in front of a bus. You know? Not,
but it's true. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one way to deal with it. Yeah. What about these? What do they call them? A little bike, cycles or
scooters?
Scooters.
The little.
Yeah. Sure, you can bring electric. Your scooter on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if we have little scooter racks, but yeah, scooters fine.
And what's the capacity on these big double buses? How many people can you? Yeah. Put on those.
Well, they call it crush capacity, and that's when
crush capacity.
You're literally people are like that's as far as you can cram as yeah, many people really? Into it. Okay. And that's 110 people.
Okay,
so that's about double what a normal size.
Have you
bus
tested
is.
That out?
I don't know how they got that out, but hopefully there isn't 110 people on the bus when you're trying to ride it. But that's like kind of the absolute max. But no, they're a lot bigger. There's a lot of seating. There's ways to stand, and it feels a lot more like just like a light rail system.
Now, you said this was an east-west thing,
yes.
pretty much, right? Sun Prairie?
Yeah, it goes all the way out to Sun Prairie.
And Middleton, of course.
Yes.
But then what is the plan for going south? Because definitely the southern area of the city definitely needs transit.
Yeah.
It's a you know, obviously a poverty-stricken area, some of the areas out there, and people don't have the cars. They don't have the transportation.
Well, remember, we did a whole transit redesign last year, so there's still the normal routes that are going everywhere and using some of
that's
them use
true.
The
that's true.
Some of them that, and so the north-south line that is they still I don't want to speak too much because they still got to approve it and get all the federal
okay.
funding in that, but it's been in the planning and we're really just like doing the east-west line now and finding the federal and state funds to really make it possible for us to do it because. Transit's expensive. Let's just not do it. Mm-hmm. And the people in Madison are absolutely supporting Metro, but there's a lot of, like with public transit, there's just a lot of funds that come from outside local sources.
We're just worried, you know, yes. because these bus stops are in yeah. the middle of the road.
It's not really that bad. They have, like, I don't understand
they
why
doors
people
on would. Both sides, right?
And they have these little geotags so that right door opens. So people won't be just like walking into the middle of the street. The BRT stations, I would encourage everyone to go to that open house today or just check
so
them
people
out.
People can cross the street. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. Everybody has to get
people
to the middle
can cross
of the, road.
The street. Yes.
But then they have to do that. Normally people, you know, are late and they're running up to the yes. bus stop, but yeah. you know, they don't have to cross a street
that's
to get on
that's
the bus.
That's a good point. And that's kind of why this frequency thing is really important because we our old system, which you know, it was for really built for a smaller city. But I used to go out to Midwest Family Broadcasting on the west mm-hmm. side on the Metro bus. And if mm-hmm. you missed that 58 Green Tree bus, that was it. I was an hour and a half late for work.
Okay.
Right. And yeah. the difference between the new system is the buses are coming a lot more frequently so they can serve a bigger populace of people because it's actually an option to take transit as opposed to being 100% dependent on it. Because if it comes every 15 minutes, then you don't have to plan your life around being on the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dylan, what time do the buses start running in the morning and how late does it go now?
You guys
is,
are good
it,
about it.
Is it still the same
it's a,
schedule
pretty
as far
much.
As start
I mean, it's
and
like
end
6
times?
To midnight,
yeah.
I believe is what
that's
it
pretty,
is.
That's good. About right.
Yeah. Yeah. BRT is yes. that's their hours?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. Yeah.
And well, and that's the kind of thing because we're serving a lot of people, including service workers and people mm-hmm. working third shift and people working at restaurants. So, yeah, no, public transit is really important and it's going to be ever more important in Madison.
Talking with Dylan Brogan here about the new system going into place, Metro Transit. So how do people get those fast passes? Can they buy them now, the new passes, to get on the bus?
They can. Okay. So I would go to Madison Metro or Metro Transit's website. They have all their locations. There are a lot of changes happening right now where they're changing over these whole fare systems. So I encourage everyone to go to, you know, just type in Metro Transit. You can find out all the details because there's new locations. You can buy it. You can also buy at the new BRT stations tickets right there, and you'll be able to use like an app, which you can just scan your phone right in. So the whole thing is like just built to take out those little things that slow things down, like searching for a buck and putting in thing. There's new you enter on the center or in the back instead of just the front. So there's a lot of new changes, and I think everyone, even if you've never tried the Metro system before, I would encourage everyone to check it out because. It's great. It's a good thing that Madison and people want to live here.
Well, you know, there are critics of people who put this thing together.
No way.
We talked to Paul Soglin. He wasn't real happy about this.
Paul Soglin? This is the biggest champion of BRT there is.
Yeah, that's right. He is. Okay. Now, here's the thing. You brought
it
up.
If it wasn't for former Mayor Paul Soglin, we would not have this system today. Oh. We wouldn't because...
But he wanted a different way of paying for it. Now, here we have...
What way?
You mentioned that... Well, I guess he wanted certain businesses or communities to throw money in or help pay for it in a certain way. But now we have the federal funding from the Biden administration, and they put money in. And so that that has helped pay for this system then.
Absolutely. Well, like 75% of it.
75%. Okay.
Yes. And, right, and remember, too, that there's the capital budget, which is like paying for the infrastructure part.
Yes.
And then there's the operating budget.
Okay.
The Metro's operating budget is, if you kind of adjust for inflation, is about is exactly where it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's why they did the system redesign last year, because we knew that the taxpayers are supporting Metro, have long supported Metro, that this couldn't be a huge new burden on the taxpayers, and it really isn't. And I think people should check it out because the system is brand spanking new, and I think you're going to like it.
Thank you.
All right. Open house today.
All right.
Again?
Yeah, 4 o'clock at Baldwin Street Station.
That's Dylan Brogan. Thanks for coming in, Dylan.
Yeah, of course.
Good luck with all the stuff coming up with the buses. I'm sure you're going to be busy. 7:49, coming right back. That umbrella we
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
As a dairy farmer from Lodi, I know that Joan Baldwin delivers for Wisconsin farmers, because when our farm faced tough times, Joan stepped up to fight for us. Working to lower taxes, improve rural roads, and secure support for farm programs, Joan Baldwin puts farmers first. So when it comes to protecting my farm and my cows, I trust Joan Baldwin. She's always stood with us. Now let's stand with her. Vote Joan Baldwin for State Senate. Paid for by Volunteers for Agriculture, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
The first highly anticipated debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is Tuesday night, September 10th.
Listen here as the presidential candidates address issues important to you.
It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country.
I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something. We're fighting for.
Special coverage with detailed insights starts at 7:30 p.m.
Then listen to the ABC presidential debate live at 8 Tuesday, September 10th on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
The funeral leftovers.
The day we eat all the leftovers.
And I'll just have leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
Enjoy it. 92.7 WMDX, 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, don't forget, tonight is the big debate, and we've got Civic Media coverage beginning at 7:30 with Terry Bell and Todd Alba and more of our Civic Media analysts. And then the debate happens at 8 o'clock, and they'll cover all of that live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Tonight. Okay.
Well, okay. These are some of the stories we just can't fit in.
We got leftovers.
Sometimes they're just they don't.
They're odds and ends. They're little tidbits.
Yeah,
they don't really belong anywhere, but we've got them because that's why they're leftovers.
We don't really belong anywhere either. Do we?
That's don't either.
It. But here we are. What are you going to do about
this
it?
This is one of those stories.
Yeah.
Fox News host Maria Bartiromo, and Representative Donalds of Florida argued that former President Barack Obama was controlling Democratic officials through an earpiece, and this is cut 167.
What? Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you got to think. You know, they've always said that Biden was controlled by Obama. They've always said that because. What when you make stuff up, you got to come up with something credible, right?
Yeah.
And that was such a credible idea. Yeah. So let's play this here.
Okay.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man. Or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
Okay. Congressman, he's fine with that. Is that the plan?
It very well might be.
Well, of course.
Come on.
Well, it could be.
Could be.
If you're nuts.
We're still living in bizarro world. It just, you know, it's so crazy.
Okay. Well, now everybody's talked about this, but I do want to play and I want to make sure that we have it on record here.
Okay.
On the John and Gordy Family Show, and this is cut 56. Trump, of course, ignored the school shooting completely. And instead had something more important to say. Let's listen to it here.
Can you imagine you're a parent and your son leaves the house and you say, Jimmy, I love you so much. Go have a good day in school.
He's so sincere.
And your son comes back with a brutal operation. Can you even imagine this? What the hell is wrong with our country?
What is he talking about? Just
well, you know, they're redoing all the high schools and they're putting surgical centers in to
to do operations.
Yes,
just in between classes or
operations.
A brutal operation, like some kid gave him a bad haircut in the hallway or something.
Yeah, just like that. See, I mean, that's what it's all about. Now, this was just fantastic stuff. Rudy, of course, is in the news, and he's still out there.
Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah. Rudy says Tim Walz was trained and programmed by the Chinese Communist Party, then sent back to the U.S. to brainwash kids. In school as a teacher.
Where do they come up with this stuff?
They keep doing it. So we keep playing it. Okay. Let's cut 157. All right.
I was in China 3 times. China, you don't want to go back. If you understand freedom and democracy. 30 times. First trip paid for by Harvard. And what's Harvard's relationship with China? Few people have gone to jail for that. Somebody's got to take a good look as to whether or not this guy isn't exactly what we're worried about, is a teacher who brainwashes children. Because if he was teaching those kids that one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness, then he's teaching brainwashing.
Oh, my God.
That is really extraordinary.
Yes, it is.
It's wow, extraordinarily weird
thought.
Crazy.
Rudy. There's still, you know, he must still be watching old Man from U.N.C.L.E. shows or something. The brainwashing.
So Tim Walz went over to China, got and programmed, and came back and brainwashed
as a teacher.
Kids. Okay.
Oh, my God. Of course, you know, let's remember, too, that Scott Walker's doing just that, by the way, with MAGA brainwashing through Young America's Foundation, F-A-F. Your YAF. That's what it is, YAF.
Okay.
Florida, they do brainwashing as well with their kids, K through 12, and the four-year colleges that they have put in place and taken out some of the other colleges that they had down there. So, yeah, brainwashing is a big thing on the right. They love that stuff. Okay, now, Harrison Walz, they've come out with something that is really, really, you know, they just want to make sure that people are aware that former Trump officials in the administration that Trump had are not big fans of his anymore.
Mm.
Funny, he just makes everybody angry at him. You know? Yeah. But, of course, this is a plot, of course, to make Trump feel bad. So let's play Cut 63, and this is the latest from the Harris campaign. Let's check this out.
In 2016, Donald Trump said he would choose only the best people to work in his White House. Now those people have a warning for America. Trump is not fit to be president again. Here's his vice president.
Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. It should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year.
His defense secretary.
Do you think Trump can be trusted with the nation's secrets ever again?
No. I mean, it's just irresponsible action that places our service members at risk, places our nation's security at risk.
His national security advisor.
Donald Trump will cause a lot of damage. The only thing he cares about is Donald Trump.
And the nation's highest ranking military officer.
We don't take an oath to a king or queen or to a tyrant or a dictator. We don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator.
Take it from the people who knew him best. Donald Trump is a danger to our troops and our democracy. We can't let him lead our country again.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
So with all those people know, not supporting Trump, in fact, calling him just very dangerous, and going on the record and being an ad, it's not like they're just hanging in the background saying, I don't like him.
No. more and more of the people that he worked with closely and had on the cabinet and high government officials have come out against him. Almost all of them, seems like, you know? And Mike Pence taking the lead there.
Yeah.
Wonder if that'll come up tonight during the debate.
Well, I assume that, you know, Kamala being a great prosecutor is going to have some things to say.
She's
and some
go right after him.
Very direct comebacks.
Yeah. Hey, that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, Mike McCabe will be here. The Stephanie Miller Show is next. Thanks for listening to the John and Gordy Show. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning right here on 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday. That means what's grinding our gears. We'll ask you what's worse and so much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.